Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. In his message titled, The Boundaries of Us, Reverend David Williams tells us that a close walk with Jesus brings you closer to the life that Jesus asks us to live, which will bring you closer to your neighbor. When we are with Jesus, then all of the divisions we have with others break down. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. That one will work on you. You just gotta let it flow through after a while. And it's missing, and I wanted to make sure it was in, but that call to worship, anyone know where that's from? That's St. Patrick, as in the Irish St. Patrick. So just wanted to make sure we knew who gave that to us. As we gather here in this space today, we come each with our own voice. And all of our voices are different. Some higher, some lower. But each contributes to the whole. And we all come with different personalities. Some of us more inward, some of us more outward. All contributing to who we are together. The challenge as we step out into the world is so easy to think that our voice is the only one, or that our way of life is the only way you can be faithful, good, and true. Let's now admit that sometimes we like the sounds of our own voices more than others in ways that don't contribute to God's grace and love in the world. Let's do that through the prayer of confession. And then for a moment in silent prayer and reflection. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and almighty God, we want to be in control over our own lives. We are free, after all. We want to be autonomous, self-contained, completely ourselves. We resist anything and everything that might impede our sense of our own freedom. Yet when we resist anything that might change us or guide us or teach us, we close ourselves off from others. We close ourselves off from those who are different. And in doing so, we close ourselves off from you. Forgive us, Lord, as we struggle to find the balance between identity and growth, between being who we are and our responsibility towards others. Now hear us as we speak our own prayers in silence. Let's go to God in silent prayer. Now listen for the assurance of God's pardon. Who's in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. You can follow along on page 189 in your Pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Paul writes, "Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we had our summer family gathering, our church event on Wednesday, and it was a lot of fun, but I caught something at that event. I caught an affliction that many of us will get on occasion. I picked up an earworm, you know those things where you're moving through your day and you're minding your own business, and suddenly there's this fragment of a song, and it plays in your mind, and you know, it's something you've heard recently or thought about recently, or if you're particularly unfortunate, it's an ad you've heard, and it just cycles and cycles, and it plays and plays and plays over and over again in your head, and you'll be like, you're stuck a couple of hours with a snippet of this Katy Perry song you don't even know the lyrics to, and you're like, oh, gotta get it out of my head. It's so frustrating. And I actually usually deal with earworms by the best cure is to flush them out with other better music. So have a good playlist in hand and you can sit back and listen to that music and eventually the earworm will go away. Our theme on Wednesday was walking with Jesus and the road to Emmaus. And so I wake up Thursday morning and there's this tune in my head. It's familiar, and I think about it for a sec. It's this old gospel standard. First, I wasn't pinning it down, but it keeps cycling and cycling. So I'm making the coffee, and I'm humming, "I am weak, but thou art strong." And I'm like, "Oh, wait." And so I take the dog for a walk, and I'm humming, "Jesus, keep me from all wrong." And I'm like, oh man, and I'm in Harris Teeter, the Annandale one, which is a closer walk. And I'm like, "I'll be satisfied as long." And I'm like, oh man. And I'm then going over to my parents' house because, you know, they need help with things. And the whole way, I'm like, "As I walk, let me walk close to thee." And I'm like, oh man, And that song was in my head all day Thursday. The whole day it's in my head. And unlike most songs, you know, where I'm really eager to get rid of them, I kind of liked its company. I was like, oh, this is nice. I didn't remember all the lyrics because, you know, I grew up in a big progressive church downtown and old gospel standards didn't get sung much. But, you know, it was there. You know, I was just... you know, just a closer walk with thee, and it was just, it's still kind of there a little bit. And so I'm like, you know, I'm not going to try to get rid of this song. I'm just going to let it be the soundtrack of my day. And so I doubled down on it. Through the miracle of the interwebs and listening to music on YouTube, I'm like, I'm just going to feed that earworm with every single version of that song I can find. So I did. That evening, when it was still in my head, I kicked back, put on my headphones, and listened to about a dozen different versions of it. Every one of them unique, every one different, every one from a slightly different cut or take or perspective. And I enjoyed it. And the first one I listened to when I looked through the list was a rendition, a duet, Patsy Cline and Willie Nelson. And that was a good one. I liked that one. Then I listened to this wild, stomping, 15-minute long New Orleans version featuring the powerful gospel voice of Mahalia Jackson. Anyone know Mahalia Jackson? I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she was singing a duet with the warm, froggy, warbling Louis Armstrong. And the thing just went. And I'm like, this is great. And then I settled in and listened to an almost equally long version by, in full concert, Wynton Marsalis and Eric Clapton. That wasn't half bad either. I was liking that. And then I found one that surprised me. It was a version by Ramin Karimloo. Anyone know Ramin Karimloo? He's an Iranian-Canadian Broadway star. The last full revival of Les Mis on Broadway, he was Jean Valjean. So he's got some cred. He was also in London. He was Phantom in the Phantom. So this guy can sing. And it was kind of weird. I didn't expect to hear, generally you don't hear old gospel standards on Broadway. But apparently when his family had fled the Iranian Revolution. And when they settled, the people who helped them settle, Salvation Army. And so they would go to Salvation Army services, and this was a standard there. And he still loved it, although I listened to two renditions of him singing it, and both times his backup singers they sort of goofed around a bunch, because you could tell they're like, we're really singing gospel here. We feel kind of uncomfortable with this. It was still nice. My favorite one, I think, was this pure, unornamented, elemental duet by the Abbott Brothers. Anyone know the Abbott Brothers? They're great. Southern, sort of, they're hard to describe, but it's good stuff. And it was just the two of them and two well-played guitars in the middle. I mean, suddenly they're bursting out and they're singing gospel in this venue where clearly most people were drunk. And, you know, people are hooting and hollering and everyone's singing along and they're getting into it, and it's this weird dynamic, because it was just this pure, sweet version of that song. And I was happy to feed that earworm, because as I went in and listened, here, totally different context, people of different ages, from different places around the country, each of them singing that song as they'd encountered it in their own particular way. All of them describing this song, singing out this song about walking with Jesus. Each taking their view of the path with a different voice and in a different way. Because it is a path that's open to everyone and a song that can be sung in many different ways. That's the faith we hear this morning as we listen to the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Galatia. Now, this is a church that was central to Paul's ministry, and he writes this letter to them at a time when the New Jesus movement was trying to figure out what it was, trying to figure out what its identity was. Are we one thing? Are we another? What do we need to do to be followers of Jesus of Nazareth? And Paul, who set up that early church in Galatia, wasn't the only voice there. He came back and interacted with the Galatians on a bunch of times, and Paul wasn't always soft with the Galatians. At the beginning of this chapter, he calls them fools. "You foolish Galatians," he says. Because it's so easy to get distracted and not know what your identity is and not know how you are meant to follow Jesus if no one's really done it before. There were others who'd influenced that community who were telling the Galatians that There was only one right way to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, these people were arguing, you had to embrace first all of the laws and customs and practices of the people of Israel. This involved keeping kosher. But it also involved every other one of the laws of ritual purity. And particularly for guys, it meant that the new members class had challenging endings to it. Please don't flinch unless you want to join the women's group. The assumption on the part of these people who Paul was challenged by, they said in order to be part of the way of Jesus, you had to be completely one way. You had to be part of Jewish culture and ritual practice. Now, Paul didn't have a problem with that. He had a problem with people saying it was necessary, because Paul understood that the heart of the way of Jesus tore apart categories and distinctions. It tore down boundaries and divisions between persons. He felt that powerfully and strongly. And so in this passage, he takes apart those separations, those different categories, one by one. First, he says, in Christ there is no Jew or Greek. In Christ there is no Judaoi or Hellenai. And this doesn't quite play out exactly the way we hear it now. Greek is Greece. Jews are Jews. My wife, actually, is a Greek Jew. That's where her family comes from, so that's not what Paul meant. By Jew, he means the Jewish people, Jewish cultic practice, Jewish ritual. That's still the same, but when he says Greek, he means everyone else. Because Greek, Hellenai, means those who are Greek-speaking. And in the Roman Empire, what was the language that everyone spoke? It was Greek, yes. There we go. This was the common language among cultures. Like if I say the words lingua franca, what does that mean? It means the common language spoke among cultures, which the French find tremendously depressing, because that used to be them. And of course, it's English now. English is the lingua franca. That's not something you should say in Paris. But it means that no matter whether you're part of one discrete culture or you're part of the broader culture, that doesn't define your relationship to each other in Jesus. And then Paul says, in Christ there is no slave or free. And in the Greco-Roman world, that had a different ring to it. It doesn't have any of the demonic racial overtones that American slavery took on, because it wasn't primarily about race. Slavery and freedom was about class. It was about social status. It was about power. Those who were citizens and free had power and wealth. And those who were owned in that culture were people who had found themselves either through birth or by an accident of fate in a position where they didn't have ownership over their own lives. Think of it now, if we're trying to find an analog, it's like those who have student loan debt and those who don't, or those who have health insurance and those who don't, or those who have savings and investments that mean they're taking advantage of all of the wealth of our culture pouring into capital markets, and those who don't have enough money to participate. To the Galatians, Paul says, those socioeconomic divides don't mean anything. All of you are followers of Jesus. And then Paul says, In Christ there is no male or female. And this was a part of our sense of ourselves that had tremendous social implications in the ancient world, one that paralleled the status distinctions between those who were enslaved and those who were free. And this, an even more fundamental distinction, one that gets down to some pretty essential chemistry and plumbing. And to the Galatians, Paul says, even this way of understanding ourselves, even this one, doesn't mean anything. Once you have committed to singing Jesus' song, even that doesn't make a difference. Paul presents us with a way of understanding ourselves that transcends all of our forms and boundaries of identity. And it doesn't really annihilate them. It doesn't assume that our identity is just one thing. You don't expect another soul to cease being themselves, to stop bringing the richness of their language and their culture into that relationship with Jesus, but it means that there's something greater that binds all of that together. You just sing as one, songs and words crossing the boundaries of the self, as we hear one another's harmony shaping self to self, all in the service of that gospel message of Jesus. And it's that shared identity that is the one song that we should share, that little theme that keeps going in the back of our head and that we can hear in a dozen different voices, sung in different languages, sung in different keys at different paces, but it's all the same. That message of gospel grace. And as you step out into the world this week, as annoying as earworms might be, let your walk be just a little closer to Jesus. Not that I'm suggesting that that song should be stuck in your head in the same way it is in mine, but maybe it should, because that walk is one that binds us together in one great song that we just don't ever tire of hearing. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
All week long, I resisted using that hymn, which maybe I should have, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna let you go onto Facebook after the service. And I've got like 10 renditions posted, so listen to it there. Let it work its way into you. Because that closer walk with Jesus, that walking with him has this strange effect of not just bringing you closer to Jesus. You'd think, all right, well, now I'm just walking with him. Well, really, the walk with Jesus is the walk that brings us closer to everyone. If you walk with Jesus, you're walking closer to your neighbors. If you walk with Jesus, you are walking closer to family and loved ones. And if you walk with Jesus, what you find is that walking right next to Jesus is that person you don't like all that much, who kind of has issues with you, and Jesus is walking with them and loving them and caring for them, and they're right there with him. And so as that song works in us, it's a reminder
that when we are in him, when we are with him, those divisions that separate us of class, of race, of gender, all the different categories of our culture, they break down. And you've just got this one you're walking with. So step out this week and have a closer walk with him. And in that, find yourself closer to God and neighbor and closer to the self that you yearn to become. Let that be your walk this week. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.